snap. Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast. Chad, hanging out in the garage today, my man.
We're here. We're live.
It's not even live a little bit. It's like recorded as recorded can be, but we are here hanging out, and this is something we're going to try this year. It's 2023. We wanted to try some new things, so we are coming to you not only on the podcast channel that you might be listening to, but the YouTube, if you're watching on the YouTube. Yeah. So
2023, you have a couple times now made the phrase 23 the goat year.
Okay, hold on. 23 is the MJ year, and because okay. MJ is the goat, so I think probably
you're making that statement.
I am born in the 80s.
You enjoy the LeBron. Sorry,
he out. MJ still in. No, LeBron's great. He's great, but for a guy that grew up in the early 90s, yeah, right. Like how could you not? Right? Like how could you? Like he is the standard, right? Like it's for kids today that watch Tom Brady play football. Like I'm sure there's other great players, but
no, Tom Brady is the goat.
Oh, he is the goat with no question marks. Yeah.
He's just won a lot of Super Bowls.
He has a lot of rings, but so does MJ. MJ has a lot of rings.
Correct.
LeBron probably has some of the most exciting wins, some of the best points, things, stats.
All the things.
But MJ has rings on both hands, and that's a strong play.
Feels nice. If you were to win a championship ring, would you wear it in the wild?
My question is not would you wear the one, like at what point, like do you have so many that like you're picking and choosing, or is it like all or nothing?
I don't feel like MJ wearing six around. You know what I mean?
Just like ordering at a restaurant,
that
a menu,
in a safety deposit box, right?
Like yeah,
you're not ordering a Chick-fil-A.
I'll have the milkshake, please.
Okay, by the way, we need to talk about this. Okay. I know this was not planned
at all,
but the Chick-fil-A thing popped up. There's this moment now
okay.
at fast food restaurants.
Okay.
When you're in the drive-thru, okay, you've ordered, you come to the point of payment.
Yeah.
No longer do they take your card, at least some of the ones I've been to, they stick this machine out the window, and I've now got to play this like weird game with someone else with a moving object of trying to like
tinker and do yeah.
slide this card.
Yeah. It's a team game.
Hold it steady. Yeah, I'm like a NASA like docking mission of a spaceship trying to like
line everything up. It's the 90s Top Gun NES game when you have to refuel. It's the stage that nobody could finish because you'd always break the needle off.
I was so bad at Firefox. I can't do it.
Yeah. Do a barrel roll.
Just take my card.
Take my card.
Put it in.
Well, but Chick-fil-A, they've got a lot of people out there, and they got to put somebody to work, right? They're overstaffed on purpose.
So this one young lady,
okay.
By the way,
great young
needs
lady,
a raise.
Needs a raise. She's the best.
She did the best.
She's the goat.
Thing.
Yeah.
She's the goat of Chick-fil-A.
23 on her polo. Yeah.
She put the machine on my car window. So made it like
level playing.
Well, yeah. Made it a okay. stationary object.
Kunk, kunk.
Instead of us both like trying to like figure.
That's the play.
Yeah, I just feel like every time they shove that in me, shove that in my direction.
In your face.
Yeah, I feel like we're now playing a game of connection.
Well, that's fun. The connection we want to make for this year, though. So it's the new year. I think for a lot of people, maybe it was this year for at least the Tulsa area, the weather on January 1st was immaculate.
Yeah.
Like it was like 67 degrees and no wind, which never happens in Tulsa. I've never seen everybody commit to their physical health on the new year, like Sunday, New Year's in 23. Like there were families, like even the little kids were running behind mom and dad, like ducklings. Like it was just like, we're doing this like together. So I posted about it. Like the last year, I think folks have seen that I've posted a lot about like better numbers and health stuff or whatever, but I finally posted enough that you had questions about it. So I'm like on my Sunday run, loving the 65 degree weather. It's wonderful. It's January.
Yeah.
And
you've gone through quite the transformation the last
Thank
year,
you.
which is fantastic. And you do, you, you, You're borderline health coach posting.
I know. I felt bad. A lot of people were posting, but I just like, I was caught up in the moment. Everybody was talking about their excitement and I felt like I had the receipts, you know, like everybody else is posting like, you know, to get ready for 23, here's what you got to do. And I was like, actually, I've been doing it every day last year.
Yeah, for an entire year.
I literally took off. I think there was two holidays where like the gyms were closed or what I know.
Slacker.
But almost, I think 362 or 3 days of last year, I was exercising in some way.
You couldn't have done a sit-up.
Well, I mean, I walked around the house, but I did track every day my food and my water.
Okay.
And so that was the big thing that I posted, you asked about. It's like, for me, that was some of those better number things, is it wasn't just about like, okay, I'm going to lose weight. Like, which is like, that's always like a,
you want that to happen.
You want it to happen, but it's kind of a catch 22. Cause it's like, well, how much, when would you feel good? Whatever. And I was like, I'm going to track as much as I can, as consistently as I can, numbers that I actually am control of.
Yeah.
Cause like pounds, like, it's mean, right? Like sometimes you'll have like a big dinner and then not sleep well. And you're like, I gained 3 pounds last night. Like I didn't.
That's quite the buffet.
That's CC's with, you know, maybe not such.
By the way, junior high school record at CC's.
Crushed it.
I don't know if it's still standing, Duncan, Oklahoma, but.
Laid it down.
Yeah. After a track meet, it went down.
Okay. So for me, it was water. It was calorie intake and then like exercise minutes. Like, I mean, again, can't control the weight loss, but if I'm doing those three things of drinking a gallon of water a day, getting steps in and making sure that I'm not like eating crazy too much, good things should happen.
Okay. So the post that we're talking about though, you made this like,
like chain of words,
Yeah. That I then reached out, no offense, very proud of you for all of your health endeavors. Just,
like questioning it. Like, hold on, break it down.
No. But I thought what you posted was a really great teaching lesson beyond health.
Okay.
But for a lot of areas in your life, whether it is health, but I think specifically ministry, I think there's a lot to learn in the chain of words that you put together. So
yeah.
I don't want to botch it.
Okay.
And so tell me the chain of words that you put together.
So do you want to start at the end or the beginning? Like what's the best place to start? So I want
a fairy tale.
We're going to spin it reverse. So I wanted to kind of, for a lot of folks that want like the growth or the gain.
Yeah.
Like for me, there's layers under that mountain. Like, okay. So if you're like
end result,
okay. You have a goal or a growth or a gain you want.
Yeah. For most people, it is that weight loss.
It's right? A weight loss, like, or muscle mass or whatever. Okay. There's a picture in your head that you want.
Okay.
And I think for a lot of folks, like, well, you gotta get the discipline, right? Like discipline is the word. Like if you just do the thing, it'll happen. Well, then a lot of folks,
all of us are great at that.
Yeah. We just imagine, like, yeah. I want it. I get it. Right. So for a lot of folks, the discipline pushback is, you know, better than motivation, better than passion is consistency, right? Like, like if you're consistent, the discipline will come. Like if you just do it all the time. And I will say that was a big thing for me. Like there have been seasons in my life where I try to work out sometimes, like 3-4 times a week, which is probably the right answer. But for me, like there was always that, like, well, there's 5 days left in the week. Yeah. I probably will work out, and then I wouldn't.
I just got to do it 3 times.
Yeah, I just got to do it 3 times out of five. I'm sure nothing will come up that will prevent that.
Right. Especially with only two days left.
I'm only going to get 3 workouts in 1 day. The big thing was, okay, consistency. We're going to go ahead and make that autopilot. We're going to happen every day. Okay. Now, in some days I'd work out harder. Some days I would, you know, not sleep as well, or I'd sleep really well and feel awesome or whatever, but I would do it every day. And it was
even on Sundays,
5:30 a.m.
People will drop a habit on a Sunday.
People would love to drop a habit on a Sunday. Even on Sunday, most Sundays were lighter. It was like a long walk or a run, like a little bit of stuff, but it was something every day.
Not really biting to the Sabbath.
I know, not so sabbatical, but we'll get there. That's the new habit. Yeah. But the layer under that for me, beyond just consistent, is consistent to what?
Okay.
Because it's the old, like, practice makes perfect if it's good practice. And so I had to track stuff.
Track it.
So more than just like, we're going to do it every day, because then it would have got really into that lazy, like, well, I went to the gym and I sat down and I watched TV, which I watched that happen. Like, as a Planet Fitness goer, for anyone else who's a Planet Fitness goer, there is a demographic of people that come in for a few weeks, never to be seen again. There's another group of folks that, you know, it's Pizza Monday, Donut Tuesday. It's a great chance to hang out. Free TV, right? Free TV, massage beds, you know, put your token in, you're good to go. And so I wanted to track things that I could control because, again, the goal was weight loss, but I can't control that. Okay. So I started tracking consistently every day as much as I could. Right. And so, like, just having the raw data, like putting the stuff in for how much water. So I had a little water app, putting in how many exercise minutes with the watch that I had, and then writing down all my meals. Some meals, I didn't have great meals. Like, I still had fast food all year because I have boys and they want to go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or whatever. So I had fast food, but it was being really mindful of, like, what does a quarter pounder do to my calorie goal, sure. right? Like, you can have the quarter pounder, but you're probably going to go lighter for dinner or whatever, yeah.
Well, the thing that I like about that is when you're like, okay, what I'm really trying to do here is track every day.
That's it. I got to track every day.
Because that does allow you to go, okay, well, today was a loss, right?
Maybe. Right. It creates a little win or loss. Because you are tracking, you may have lost the day, but you tracked it, so you won the day.
Yeah. So in sense, it's like if the end goal is just I'm going to work out 3 times a week,
yeah.
that may not happen. But when you're saying, okay, no, my goal was to track every day,
track these things every day,
that continues to allow you to realize, like, it's been 4 days of bad choices.
Right. Right.
And my goal is to continue to track on day 5.
Yeah.
Am I going to continue that?
That's right.
Right.
It's a small, it's the James Clear thing from his Atomic Habits book. It has to be the smallest integer possible, right? So it's breaking it down in such a way. Like, one of the things that one of the health people that I talked to was saying is that, ironically, you should weigh every day, because mm-hmm. if you weigh once a week, you'll feel defeated week to week.
Yeah.
If you weigh every day, the little fluctuations get noticed more. And I was like, okay, but I still can't control that. But I can control if I had a gallon of water today or sure. not. And so,
well, again, because that's often what's happening is you do feel bad 1 week, and then it's all out the window.
You quit, right? And then you're behind, and you're like, I can't pick it up again.
Okay,
you
know? So the wording then is tracking into
consistency into discipline. Discipline into growth, gain. Yeah.
Okay, so for ministry then, right? Because one of the things that we talk about, and a lot of people talk about in ministry,
growth,
is numbers.
Yeah, right? Gain. Get those gains.
And for us, it's real easy to be like, okay, well, we've got 30 students in the student ministry. Yeah. We want to grow to 50.
Right.
What does that look like?
Right. Just in smooth round numbers, just right. like that, 30 to 50.
And boom. Then we just continue to do the same Wednesday night every week.
No change,
right? Yeah. And then at the end of the year, it's like, why are we still at 30?
Yeah, we're at 32. We didn't make our goal or whatever.
Or sometimes we get to 50 and we actually have no idea how we got to 50.
And
I think sometimes
that's even a more curious proposition.
It is, because then when we fall to 30, we have no idea why.
And we get really bummed out.
Yeah.
And we don't know what to do.
Because a lot of ministries, specifically at I feel like there are barriers at certain levels.
That's right.
Right. 25 seems to be.
We talked one. About like the 12. There's like a 12.
Is there
to 30,
a breakdown?
Well, I mean, we talked about another podcast.
Pseudoscience of student ministry.
Yes, here in the laboratory. Like, I think there is some kind of like 12 to 20 or like 20 to 30. There is that, like.
There's a jump at 50 to 60.
30 to 50-ish. Yeah, because then you go 50 to 80, and 80 is like, I don't even know all these kids. Like, I'm familiar with all of them. And that's some of that's relational science of organizations, of like how known each person can be. And that's why we talk a lot and stress about having leaders that invest and care and grow, which we'll talk more in this episode too. But there is that element of like, there are barriers to stuff. Like, you hit a wall, right? Or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So for student ministry.
Yeah.
Let's say because I think we could look at this in multiple ways. Let's break it down first and foremost of just numerical ministry growth being end result.
Yeah.
So walk that back.
Okay.
What do you think are things that we should be tracking in the very beginning if we're wanting an end result of student, like – bringing friends, more students in the room growth.
We want to add persons to the organization. Sure. We want to add students to the body, to the ministry.
Okay, pause for a moment.
Yeah.
in some circles is like this bad thing. Like, I feel like for some people, it's like, oh, it's not about growth. Like, at some level, I get that it can't all be about that. But if you're upset that, like, students are coming to church.
Well.
Like, that's weird.
What happens is, and this is part of the process, they don't know why it happened. So they get really judgmental of why they think it happened. Okay. Like, you had one night where you gave away AirPods and like, see, that was it. You gave away the AirPods. The kids are just there for the AirPods. You're like, no. You missed that we've been spending all semester doing this and this and this. That was just like cherry on top of ice cream, right? Like, again, going back to the health metaphor, for like, you can still have a really intense health regimen and have an ice cream night.
Well,
like you can still have a treat and not have given up on your health goals. And I think you got to be really careful there of like, well, they gave away iPads, so the kids are just there for iPads. Like, no, man, you haven't met these leaders that are praying and caring for these students. They would have come either way. It just happened to be that night.
I think too, it's real easy when you're not growing and you haven't grown for a while.
Right.
To get real bitter at that kind of stuff.
Again, it's the health stuff or whatever. Well, he's skinny because of this. And I'm like, oh,
he's got he's already got a high metabolism. Yeah,
he's already built that way. He's got a lean figure. And I'm like, no, I mean, I think he's
actually, wasn't wearing husky jeans in the third grade like all of them.
Well, I mean, he buys healthier food. That's not fair. And I'm like, well, I mean, I think he's actually eating canned food. He's just, eating veggies and not fast food. Yeah.
Okay, so what are we tracking?
Okay, so
obviously, there's probably going to be things on this list that would be great to track that we don't hit.
Yeah.
But what do you think are some of the ones?
So, again, if the goal is, and I think this is a fair goal, and I think the teaser of, like, I think numbers do matter, and it is worth pursuing trying to reach more students with the right aims. I think the things that I would peel back of the discipline, so the goal is growth.
Okay.
The discipline that I would say that you need is that you need some layer of, like, how students understand that they should be growing.
Okay.
Like if they have no concept that like I could bring friends or I should bring friends or like the part of our community is bringing friends, then like they're not going to bring their friends. Like you can't ask them this week to bring friends next week and be like, why haven't they done it? It's got to be a discipline thing. Well, how do we get there? Well, we're consistently saying that this group, this ministry exists to reach their peers.
Okay.
You got to say it every week. Like you can't just have, I think there's a reason to have rhythms of like seasonal events and monthly emphasis. Like I'm here for it, but there needs to be a cultural consistency, a language communication consistency of like, we are a people that do this. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm a guy that was doing this for a journey of a year. You've got to keep saying it over and over again. Okay, well, what are the things that we can track as part of that? How many of you are weekly, daily messaging your friends about how you can pray for them?
So the thing I would add to that as the parent ministry guy is one of the elements that I don't think that happens enough in parent ministry is that same thing of youth pastors talking to parents.
Yeah.
About connecting with other parents and bringing families. Because one of the healthiest ways to really grow student ministry isn't just bring your friends.
Yeah.
It's connecting with moms and dads who've been sitting on sidelines, bored out of their mind because their kid's not a starter.
Right.
Right. But they're at the game, they're at the soccer game, and they're connecting with other parents.
Give them something to talk about.
connecting and helping those parents realize, like, invite the other soccer parents. You're going to get those students there, and more than just like every once in a while students, those become core students in your ministry because you have entire families now in your church.
No, and again, I think that there's not just one easy stream, but the thing that we would want you to hear is that the idea of growing your ministry numerically actually at the most base level was asking your students every time you gathered, who is someone you're praying for?
Okay.
Which it seems so obvious, but like if you're tracking it through the things that like if every week you are asking Nathan to pray for Tim, at some point that's going to break through in a conversation with Tim that might result in an invite to Tim.
Okay, so that's the discipline of this, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd break it all the way. Yeah, I would say that down, we're tracking those, like how much have you followed? Like you should have a journal of how I'm praying for this friend.
So the question then is, how important do you think tracking butts in the chair week to week is.
So we talked about
– is that something you think student ministry should be tracking?
So we talked about this on the pre-show a little bit. I think butts in chairs is a number worth tracking as a lag measure. So to not put the like business school hat on or whatever, it's a number that happens after other things have happened that's indicating other things. Like literally butts in chairs is the like the result of the other things that you've done in a way you can't control. It's pounds on a scale. If you do the other things, you're probably going to see more butts in chairs. But to be really honest with our podcast listeners, I've actually gained a few pounds recently because we've lost some of the weight. I know we've lost some of the weight and we've started adding a new dimension of like muscle that I've never had before. Wow. It's wild. But I think the thing
this guy with his muscles.
I know he does things. He lifts heavy rocks. But I think the butts and chairs number matters in the same way that the scale number matters. It only hurts if it's your only number.
The thing that I would add to in the same way of like measuring weight,
yeah,
is if your only metric that you're measuring against is the week before,
yeah,
which I think if you're not writing things down,
yeah,
then that is all
you haven't tracked long enough.
We have goldfish brains, right?
We do. I think that's hurtful but true.
And all we think about is the week before,
yeah.
And I think when we start to really realize, oh, wait, over the last year,
right,
even if it's like we've gained five students, if you're a student ministry of, you know, 15, 20, that's a 25% growth.
And again, percentages versus raw numbers also really important. Yeah.
And so I think measuring over a longer period of time and having that data helps us see longer trends.
Yep.
One of the things that we found back in the day when we were tracking student ministry stuff, we realized we had this like zigzag thing happening.
Grow down, up, down, like week
every
to week.
Every week. And before we really sat back and looked at our numbers, one of the things that we realized in our student ministry is we had a large amount of students from, I hate to use this phrase, broken homes.
Okay.
And
a co-parenting situation.
We found out that we had kids that were going to be with dad.
You had them on mom week or dad week
mom
and not
dad,
both week.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so kids that were in their minds, every week that they could be there were there.
Yeah.
Was only half of the time.
Yeah.
And until we really sat down with that data and started thinking through, like, how come we only see Ashley every other week?
Yeah.
Oh, because Ashley's with dad.
Yeah.
Who doesn't live in the city. Of course she's not.
She's here every week. She's available
to
be here. She's
100%
there. Yeah.
And you don't know that, right? And so like starting to see some of those trends, I think, are important. I think that there are other things in the tracking that I think are important to track. So the one thing before I get there, writing it down in this whole thing is really important.
Yeah. It's got to live somewhere. It can't just live in the, like if you're tracking is how you felt about it Wednesday, right. Like that's part of the reason this whole podcast started was to help folks that were living in the emotional reeling of a midweek that went well or went poorly. For everyone that went well, like they'd be like, this is awesome. I love it so much. Everyone that went poorly, they'd crash. Like you've got to be more anchored than just how you, like if your accounting system or your tracking system is, how do you felt like it went.
Yeah.
You are always going to be surfing in a way that's not healthy.
So one of the things we talked about that I think is, and I don't know anybody that does this, and I want to encourage our listeners and people in Booster
to reach out.
I actually think that this could be game changer for a lot of people, but actually getting smart of tracking your time.
Okay.
Of like where you're investing.
Yeah.
In things in a week-to-week basis. I think that if you have an end goal of numerical growth, or let's talk about it in another way of this, like spiritual growth, like you could track all of these things.
Yeah.
You could track like leader retention, like any of these thing metrics that you want to track that you would say at the end of result, if we grow in this way or shrink in this way, over the next year, it would be better for our ministry. I think tracking the work that we put into it in a given week.
Those lead measures into the
because like you're talking about, and on weight gain, you can't necessarily track day to day, right? Our weight's going to fluctuate even when we're eating right from day to day.
But I feel a little bloaty.
That consistency will eventually get us
smooth
to
out. That's right.
To.
It will smooth out. That's right.
In the same way, week to week with numerical stuff with students, if we just hope that they come because, wow, that talk really wowed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, no offense. Very few times, if you're not talking about actual like evangelism or those kind of things in talk, does a student walk away and go, you know what, my youth pastor, best communicator that I've ever heard.
Right.
I need to invite all my friends.
Right.
That's not the way they're thinking.
This guy is hilarious.
Right.
You probably are.
Maybe. So I think tracking metrics of like, okay, how many schools did I visit this week or this month?
Yeah.
How many students did I invite?
Right.
Or families did I connect with?
Yeah.
And being able to track those? Because I think in the same way that we do with weight or any of that kind of stuff, I think sometimes we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt and we get involved in a lot of things in student ministry. And some of the goals that we have and want to achieve, we're not actually putting in the work and the time on a week-to-week basis to actually make those things a reality.
Well, it's one of the ones that we joked about from fast food stuff, because we've both been kind of counting calorie stuff. The problem in the calories of fast food is actually in the French fry. If you go diet soda and like chicken sandwich or burger, not so bad. The minute you throw French fries in there,
you
get you every time. It's all the wrong things.
Give a little fat sticks.
And so you can't just be just salty and fat. Like you can't just like that. Like literally you can eliminate that one thing and you've leaned down something you were already doing. Like if you would just go double chicken sandwich, diet soda at the same restaurant, you'd see a massive improvement of like, I feel better. It was the fries the whole time. And there may be some of that in your ministry if you're spending time or spinning your wheels on something that like, if I can I be a little bit nitpicky? I think a lot of folks aren't accounting how much time they're putting into like their like teaching, communication, stage prep stuff. Like they're either putting in a lot of time on it and they're hoping that that's going to pay off, or they have no accounting for it. And so they've spent a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and they don't realize how scattered that's left them because there hasn't been a focus to it. I think if you could sit down and just mark down exactly what you're saying of like, these are the big buckets of my ministry. I've got to be relational with these folks. I've got to be really visionary, thoughtful, careful with these things. And I've got to be really diligent to the ways in which I study, pray, teach, and lead. And if you could create those right size buckets and put the right amount of effort, tracking, consistency into it, I think you would eventually get to the goal that you wanted. But I think you'd feel better about the effort along the way, which is actually, I think, part of what we're talking about, is that we would not feel so scattered of like, why don't I have what, why haven't I lost 40 pounds? Well, because you haven't lost 4 pounds yet, man. You got to do the little work to get to the big goal.
The other part of that I think is really helpful is I think for a lot of youth pastors that we talk to, there's a feeling of frustration that often happens, of growth or not growth, of just like, you get to the end of the week and you're just like, what did I do this week?
Did I get anything good done, right?
And like, I think the diligence of tracking is good work that at the end of the day or at the end of the week, you can look back and go, you know what? Man, we did visit this many students this week. We made this many phone calls. This is how we trained our leaders this week. And being able to track those kind of things. I think the reality is for not just student pastors, ministers in general. I'll speak for myself, okay? And I think that many people will join me in this thought. I think we waste more time than we really realize we do And not doing the wrong things, but just sometimes not doing anything of value.
The in-between things, yeah.
And I think that sometimes we feel burned out because of an area of procrastination in our life, a time period of packing too much things in one week and not enough things in the other.
Right.
That we feel overwhelmed and not knowing what to do next.
Yeah.
Instead of laying it out and going, okay, there's no thought in, I got to get up and go to the gym when you've already determined the plan of it.
Right.
Because you, it's like every morning, right?
Every morning at 5:30.
Yeah. You get out of your bed and you probably have a set thing that you do, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not worrying about, what do I do next?
Right.
You have it laid out like this. These are the things I want to accomplish.
Yeah.
Because I think in that, there's got to be some realization. Nobody in this world works. I say nobody. Most people in this world are not working from like 8 to 5 every day.
Right.
There is obviously like fun time in our work day.
Interruptions, meals, unnecessary meetings.
I think for a lot of people, some people that are bent in such a way, they can feel guilty when it's not that.
Right.
I think we've got to realize like I'm trying to achieve goals here. And this realization of, man, I hit my number of schools this week.
Yeah.
I hit my number of people meeting with, phone calls made, all that kind of stuff. Chill out.
Right. I trust it. I trust it. That we did.
That's the discipline aspect that you get at the end of your week and go, no, I worked really hard because I did these things this week. Because in the work of ministry, to be honest, of discipleship, there's no like end goal. You don't go, I won youth ministry.
I did it. Yeah, right.
I guess when Jesus comes back, it's like, all right, well, that's the end. You know what I mean? Or whatever. But for us, like there isn't this finished product.
Finality. That's right.
And so the ability for us at the end of the week to give it some finality, I think can help us mentally.
Yeah.
Of realizing, okay, I've left it on the table. I've done my work for this week.
Yeah.
The numbers match. I'm going to trust. I think it goes back to that, like Paul of like that Paul and Apollo of like, you know, I planted, he watered, but it's God who gives the growth.
Well, and that's what I would say is if you feel like Zach and Chad, you say all that, but like, I don't know if I can trust the process. I think that's a faith question.
It is.
Because if you're not trusting the process, then that means you're unsure about the work you need to be doing, which I think is a like seeking divine instruction. Like, Lord, reveal to me what's most important to do. Leadership team, let's talk about it. Like, this is the, if you feel the weight of I have to do everything or all things, then you will most likely end up doing nothing.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust that God would speak clearly enough to you to give you some direction and that you would be faithful enough to hear. Go and do. It's not easy, but the goal isn't the growth or the gain. The goal is health. We'll share more about this. I got to finish the book before I fully weigh in, but there's been a book that came out at the end of last year. It's from a Christian author that has wrecked me in the ways in which we are as guilty as anybody else of chasing down a cheap health. He more or less talks about, you know, instead of like a cheap grace that Bonhoeffer would talk about, a cheap health, that like all we want is the hack or the shortcut or the tip. Give me the tip to get healthy.
Right.
Then you don't understand what the word healthy means. Right. If you think that you could sneak your way in, then you don't even know what healthy actually means.
You want the packed room without even sitting down and the thought of going, what do we need to do? What do I need to do as a youth pastor to do that? We've been talking about numerical numbers, but I want to shift for a moment and make everyone realize that the important thing that we could be talking about right now of discipleship of students needs to be the same thing that we really sit down at the beginning of the year and go, what do I need to be doing to make sure that these 30 students that God has entrusted me with are more like Jesus by the end of the year.
Yeah. And not guess at it. And not guess at it. Not wonder week to week if we got a little bit closer.
Yeah. But that means really digging down and going, what are the things that I need to be tracking week to week
yeah.
that I'm doing, that they're doing, that our leaders are doing, or that we're just simply being faithful in our own sense of going,
yeah.
hey, maybe if I want my students to grow in faith, one of the metrics that I have to be tracking is, as a spiritual leader,
yeah.
my own growth in that process. Because if we're not going there, our students won't be as well.
It starts smaller than you think, and it's not going to come about quickly. Mm-hmm. But I do believe, minister, listening, watching, receiving this, that this year could be a most excellent year if you would seek the Lord and trust the process in as small as a thing as your daily bread.
Snap.